try to explain and understand.
Welcome to the Mystic Journey. I am your guide, maybe. Maybe I'm your co-journeyer. It's probably more accurate. And today's topic is separation is an illusion. As it pertains to God and others, separation is the illusion. And, you know, I want to communicate this in a way that's helpful, because this kind of information can be transformative. You know, and it's not like if I only knew, or if you only knew this little bit more info, oh, now you get it. It's not, I don't think, how it works, but I do think the transferring of information is important, because we do have a thinking mind. But a lot of these concepts, and a concept like this one, that separation is the illusion, that's a concept that has to be grasped beyond the thinking mind. The thinking mind is primarily there to keep us alive. It's existing largely in a dualistic kind of mindset: hot and cold, dark and light, good and bad. And it's useful. The thinking mind keeps us safe. It helps us to perform everyday tasks, help us to balance the checkbook. So we need this thinking mind. But for some of us that want to grow beyond that, there are some of us that the childlike faith, or the faith of our fathers, is no longer sufficient. The things we were taught in Sunday school or in church is no longer sufficient to help us reconcile reality to our inmost being. And so we have to get past the thinking mind to get to these ideas or concepts, or really fundamental truths about reality. So we have to see deeply, you want to say, in your heart, in your spirit, in your soul, to really grasp the concept. And so if you're still listening, it's because you do want more. You do want more from life than just what seems to be the endless cycle of acquire, consume, rinse, repeat. Acquire, consume, rinse, repeat. And that existence is tiresome, it's depressing, creates anxiety, because we're connected to these things. Idealistically, we're connecting ourselves into, really imprisoning ourselves into these ideas that in order to be a certain way, we must fit this certain picture. And as it pertains to God and others, separation is an illusion. Now, out of separation, out of the idea that you're separate from God and you're separate from other people, comes depression, comes anger, bitterness, feeling misunderstood, lonely. Because it's a really lonely world when you don't feel connected to others or to God. On the other end, when we can see more deeply that separation is the illusion, that's when we can begin to transform. That's when we begin to, it changes the way we interact with ourselves and with the world around us. You know, if in a concept of separation, in a state of separation, we feel anger, resentment, bitterness, then in a state of connection, we feel love, compassion, a general sense of well-being. We feel understood. We feel like we belong. And a lot of institutions try to synthesize this connection, this community. And they try to synthesize it because what they're doing is they're appealing to the thinking mind. Now, it's happening whether they're trying to do it or not. That's the thing. But these words like connection and community, they ring off bells in my head. These buzzwords that communities all around the country use to try to assimilate us into a way of life. That sounds very cynical. Maybe it is. But there's this cosmic connection that's happening. And part of the reason why I think institutions and things appeal to the thinking mind is because we've become a culture of individuals. You know, my own personal relationship with Jesus, my higher power. We become individual and we cease to think of things on a communal level. The way we live, the way we're set up to live, where communities are constructed, our neighborhoods and our housing. But on this deeper level, we really think about this God or these other people as being outside of ourselves. And so the thinking mind needs to see evidence that they're not. And what might that evidence be? That evidence might be what you think the way I think, or you believe the way I believe. You vote along the same political lines as I do. And we want them to fit those things because we're still trying to connect at the thinking level instead of realizing we're already connected in this deeper cosmic, I don't even know if that word is sufficient. Spiritual feels like too soft. You know, the words are just there to help us to maybe find it. I don't know. Like I said, I'm just taking a few steps with you on your journey. And I'm on my own journey. I'm still growing and learning. But I know perception for me is so key. And when I become overly concerned with myself, with my thoughts, with my feelings, with my desires, with what I want, I begin to buy into this illusion of separation. I begin to buy right into it. And it reconstitutes the concept that I'm separated. And it begins to feed on itself. And there's been enough of my days that I've spent in connection to God, in awareness of my connection to God, that when I am not, I am aware of that missing element. Again, that's my perception. The connection is there always. And you know, what's interesting is that Christian theology is actually very radical in presenting this unhindered connection to the very creator, to the very life force, to the very nature of reality. And one of the things in Christianity, and part of the doctrine or theology or thought process, is that there's this thing called the Trinity. And we use it to, you know, God is like, right? All religion is metaphor. But this concept that God is this Trinity, this divine dance. And not three, but one, not one, but three. That God in these various forms simultaneously existing. And part of that Trinity is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit resides within us. So the very thing that has set forth in motion reality as we know it, even reality for the thinking mind, is existing and living within us. Maybe that's what Christians try to get at when they say to become saved, to become aware of this reality. And in the Trinity, you have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the Son uncovers this through his ministry, through his death, through his resurrection. He exhibits the combination of divinity and humanity in coexistence, of divinity and humanity as one. That there is no separation. I've heard Father Richard Rohr say that Jesus is the archetype for humanity. This is the Apostle Paul says that Jesus is the second Adam. This is the reboot 2.0. This is how we're meant to exist. Divinity and humanity together. In the beginning of the book, the Gospel of John, says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. So the scriptures are already pointing to ultimate reality, to Christ. 2,000-year-old letters wrote already pointing to this thing, the very nature of all things are made by and for him. Through, in the beginning was the Word, that Christ is the Word of God. I know it's hard to quote scripture, for me it's hard to quote scripture and talk about these things without coming off as religious. And even then, religion has played a valuable part in my life, in my growth, in my ability to connect with myself and others. Religion is important. It binds us together. That's the literal meaning of the word, to bind together. And when I talk about these things, I know I can hear it in my head. I can see the predisposed conditions being placed to connect it. The point I'm making is that Christian theology is saying that separation is the illusion, that there is no separation between God and man. That what might be responsible for some of your hurts, or some of the things that's distanced you from practicing a faith, or practicing a connection to a higher power, to God, the beneath the surface of all of the institutionalized appealing to the thinking mind is the truth. That when it pertains to God and others, separation is the illusion. That's the fugazi. I mean, what's more helpful, right? A far off deity that sometimes jumps in to your reality to help or to create change or to give you a jolt or to lead you or to guide you. What's more helpful, that or this divine being that is in constant communion with you? You know, the last couple weeks I've been dealing with a lot of like unworthiness. I think it's because I've set out to do these shows again and to communicate these principles. And I think also because, you know, so few people are connecting with it right now. And so my thinking mind is telling me it's not working. You're not familiar with this stuff enough. You're not that good of a communicator. If you were, there'd be more followers. There'd be more likes. There'd be more views. There'd be more shares. There'd be more plays. There'd be more people calling and more people reaching out. And I have to bring myself back to, why am I doing this? I'm doing this because, number one, I love talking about this stuff. Because this stuff has transformed my life. Because this stuff that I'm condensing into 30, 45 minutes of communication has taken me, you know, 5 or 6 years through pain, through depression, through suicide ideology, searching and seeking and deep introspection to find a place where I could maybe be helpful to somebody else. And along my way, there were people that communicated to me. There were books I read and podcasts I listened to and people that I followed that started to transmit information in a way that it was like, I don't know if you've ever read something from someone and you've read it on the book, you know, and you read it and you're like, you have to stop. Because they've said something that you've thought for years, but you've never been able to articulate it. And so it stops you, this phenomenon that whatever you're reading stops you because it oh my God, this is what I've been thinking. This is what I've been trying to say. And so I guess, you know, I want to be that for somebody else. And I enjoy it. And what else am I going to do with all this equipment and all this information that's filling up my head? But that self-doubt, man, is a mother, man. It is a mother sucker. It's a damn merino. Know what I mean? Like, it really, and it's been it's an internal thing. And I've been dealing with that. But I know this is true. That's the thing. And I know that this is not said enough. That there's nothing that you have to do other than to change your perception to be in connection and communion with the Lord. That God makes no hard terms for those who seek Him. The separation from God and others is an illusion. It doesn't exist. There is no separation. And when I'm seeing separation, it's because I bought in to the lie. I bought into the lie that I am me and they are them. This is why I'm grateful for my recovery community. Because I can enter into a room of people that I've never met, never seen, never heard from. And I can feel at home. I can feel connected. There's some congruency happening. Those are sweet moments, right? We're in the thinking mind, and this reality that there is no separation aligns. And the problem is I don't exist in that all hours of the day. I got to get on with life. You know, I got family. I got mouths to feed. You know what I mean? Can't just sit in here and be connected. But when I am in those rooms, it reminds me that I'm never alone. When I hear somebody share their perspective or share their struggle, it reminds me that they're struggling like I'm struggling. I was messaging with a friend today, and he said, to the extent of, I really don't have any idea what I'm doing. And you know what? The truth is, none of us do. Some of us are just better at making a show of it, so it looks like we know. But we don't know. And see, this is where, if we're appealing to the thinking mind, there's all these obstacles that we're jumping over and diving under and dodging to try to get to the part that isn't even in the thinking mind. One of my favorite lectures from Ram Dass that I've listened to time and time again, I'll put the link in the description. He starts off in a long silence. You know, long for someone who's sitting up there speaking. And he says, we haven't reached the point where we can just sit here in silence. That we need these words to keep the mind busy while the real thing that's happening can happen. That's good. I think that's why I put the music on in the background for me. I need the noise to keep, my mind needs something to do. Pay attention to this rhythm. Pay attention to this beat. The silence is too deafening. Because I'm constantly, myself, trying to grasp this reality. Trying to awaken to it. The separation is the illusion. That when I think I'm separated, I'm buying into the lie. The connection is the reality. I don't know if I've done a well enough job of saying how I know that, right? I think there's a lot of things in science that point to this. And I'm not a scientist, so I can't really break down these things, right? But you know it. The way when you hear about somebody's death, someone calls you or you see it on Facebook that someone has died, you feel that. Even though you don't really know them, you feel it because you understand. You feel it for their loved ones. You feel for them the missed opportunities. When we see something about a natural disaster or a mass human suffering on this globe for people that we have nothing to do with, and we feel it. Because we're connected. The same way when the person walks into the room and their joy fills and lights up the room. And most of the people become lifted up by that. Because we're connected. The same way that the trees, right, are breathing out this thing that we're breathing in, and we're breathing out the thing that they're breathing in. We're connected. And sometimes, you know, when you're working with people and you're trying to intersect into a key moment in their life, when they're contemplating whether this voluntary life of suffering to addiction or abuse of drugs and alcohol needs to continue, and you hear the pain, and I want so deeply to turn their eyes to the reality, and I cannot, and I leave that interaction a little sad. I leave that interaction, I feel the weight. Not because I'm special or super spiritual, but because I'm human and I understand their suffering. I understand it on a level that's past the thinking mind. And a lot of the things I do, right? This ministry, this podcast, I spend time trying to make it make sense to the thinking mind. This is why Jesus spoke in parables. He spoke in parables because he's trying to get past the thinking mind to the heart, to the soul, to the spirit. To communicate that the kingdom of God is now. It is among you. It is in you. I think for each person who hears this idea, separation is the illusion. If you put that into practice in your everyday, it's going to manifest in different ways for each individual person. And as much as I want to articulate every instance or give you a formula for how to do this, I can't. I only know what it was for me. And I know that when I began to become aware to this concept, it took sitting with others, listening. It took sharing openly. It takes, in those moments when I sit in meditation or the moments leading up to before I hit that go live button or that record button, in those moments where I think that thinking mind is so active, why are you doing this? Who are you to do this? You know, and I got the licenses and the accreditations to tell me I could do this. And still, before I hit that button, I question, who am I to do this? I am someone who's been through this. And in those moments, when I'm in that part of doubt, I have to sink into the reality that separation is the illusion. That my thinking mind is just trying to keep me safe. It's just trying to do its job. And I'm already connected. And this message is already out there. And for those who have ears to hear it, may you hear it. May you put it in practice. And if I may be able to be of assistance, I'm here. I'm here to be assistance. And that's what I'd like to be. And if this alone helps you, then good. But find someone to work with, someone to talk with, someone to communicate with. And you can reach out, connect with us on mosthighmedia.org. If you're seeing it on some sort of social platform. But I can help. I'd like to help. I think that's it. You know, I got a lot of other things to say, but I think that's it. That's it for this. This February, we'll be doing a 12 and 2, 12 steps in 2 days. It's open to anyone who wants to learn more about the 12 steps. We'll also be at a Ricky Davis event here in Georgia, UE Entertainment event. You'll see the Most High Squad. You can order the No High Most High shirts at mosthighlife.com. And if you need help, if you're struggling, mosthighmedia.org, hit that contact button down the bottom. And we'll see if we can help.